Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another Monday night edition of Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli with Tammy Allman. Hey, Tam.
Hey, Vince.
And we had NASCAR out at Kansas Speedway this weekend, and it was just the Truck Series and the Nationwide Series out there. I mean, Truck Series and the Cup Series. Man, Nationwide had the week off. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Nationwide will be back in action this Friday night at Richmond International Raceway for another Under the Lights race, as well as Saturday for the night for the Sprint Cup Series. And I'm just looking at the thing for the nominees, I guess you would call them, for the NASCAR Hall of Fame. And, you know, some venerable drivers like Buck Baker, Red Byron, you got Jerry Cook, Clay Earls, the guy who the Daytona 500 trophy is named after. Richard Childress is one of them. Ray Fox, Ann B. France, Timmy Flock, Rick Hendrick, Jack Ingram, the Iron Man, Bobby Isaac, Fred Lorenzen, Cotton Owens, Raymond Parks, Benny Parsons, Les Richter, Fireball Roberts, T. Wayne Robertson, Wendell Scott, Ralph Seagraves, Leonard Wood, Joe Weatherly, Rusty Wallace, one of our regular announcers now on ESPN, Curtis Turner, and Herb Thomas are the nominees. So I think five of those are going to be selected. Pam, which five do you think you would like to see in there?
Oh, you put me on the spot. I like Leonard Wood. Curtis Turner.
Who?
Curtis Turner. Fireball Roberts. And then I can take two more. Probably be Bobby Isaac and Benny Parsons.
But none of the newer guys like Rusty or I guess Hendrick and Childress. I think they're a little young yet, you know?
Personally, to me, I think this Hall of Fame should be about all those who have helped build our sport to where it is today. I think some of the original inductees and everything like that should have been, you know, automatically our founding people of our sport and things like that. You know, I think it's great that some of the younger guys are getting nominated, but I think those who put the sweat and tears into building it what it is today really need to be recognized as well.
Yeah, I think some of the older guys, you know, like Jack Ingram, the Iron Man. How many races in a row did he compete at? Freddie Lorenzen or one of the pioneers, so it's Fireball Roberts. Timmy Flock, it's one of the other guys. Buck Baker, you know, Buddy Baker's dad. Wendell Scott, first African-American to win a cup race. Joe Weatherly, he's around. Leonard Wood was one of the original Wood brothers. Now they got the younger version. But it's just hard to say. I wonder which five are going to wind up in the Hall of Fame. We'll have to wait and see when that comes out. I'm sure they'll be announcing it eventually. But right now, voting is open. So I guess the fans get to vote them in.
Yep, the voting is open right now. You can vote until midnight of May 16th, and then May 23rd. They got a confusing timeline. It looks like voting online is through May 16th, and looks like the announcement's going to be at the Hall of Fame on May 23rd.
Okay. Just trying to figure out where you vote. I'm on the site.
When you go on the page, when you're reading the story of the five newcomers added to the 13 Hall of Fame list of nominees, you go in there and it says Nationwide Fan Vote on NASCAR.com. When you click on that link, it'll take you in.
Gotcha.
I'll go put the shortcut up on our site.
Okay. Now, is that where it says official NASCAR Members Club? NASCAR member?
No, you don't. Hold on, I'm going to go put up on Facebook right now that Ray has the way to go to vote.
All right. So, anyway, so if you want to get your votes in to the NASCAR Hall of Fame, Tammy's going to put it up on, on our Facebook page and the website. Might as well do it on the website, too.
Yep, multitask.
Yeah, so, and if you want to give us a call here at Garage Talk Live, the number is 646-649-1899. You can reach us from anywhere in the world. We're here broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com. And next week we plan to have our first scheduled guest on the show. One of the Miss Sprint Cups will be on to promote the latest promotions that Sprint's got given away. And just check out GarageTalkLive.com or our Facebook page. And when I know, you'll know. Right, Tam?
That's right. As soon as I get the word from you, it'll be posted up with who we're having.
Okay. I know we're trying for the... the one that was also a motocross racer. So we're going to get her on. If we can get her on, then you can talk some dirt biking.
That would be too much fun for me.
But we'll be also talking about the tweaks to the All-Star Race and about a promotion they're teaming up with Speed, where fans can send in their submission and have the chance to introduce their favorite driver during the All-Star Race in May. Imagine being up there and going, introducing Denny Hamlin or Tony Stewart or Kyle Busch or Greg Biffle. Yeah, Biffle doesn't want to race in a bit. Now he can get in because he's the current points leader and he did get to win a race a couple weeks ago, so...
It's going to be interesting this year. Obviously, the fan vote again is going to decide who gets in there. And, if Earnhardt doesn't get a win, he's going to have to rely on that fan vote again.
Yeah, but he'll definitely get that. And they'll have to compete in the open, they call it the sprint open, the race, the qualifying race to make the race.
Yep.
I wonder if, she's only been in one race, if Danica would run that one. Because I know she's slated to run in the 600 the week after. So I wonder if they're going to have her run that, the open, to try to get into the Sprint All-Star race. And
If it was me personally, I would stay away from that because she is someone, she's like Junior, the fans are going to flock to her, the fans are going to follow her. And it could actually make it interesting if they would have to split the vote because it could leave room for someone else to get in there and neither one will make it with the fan vote then.
Yeah. You're breaking up a little bit, Tad. Must have some rough weather up there in Pottstown.
Yeah, we've had nothing but rain and storms.
Yeah, we had a nasty one yesterday. So, fortunately, it's dried out a little bit today. But being I'm up at the old homestead in New Jersey, I figured... I thought about going to the old station to see if I could call in the show from there, but I don't think they'd be too fond of it. Go up to the old NJC studios, use the back room, do the show from there. But I think they use that for other stuff as well, so I wouldn't be able to get to it. You there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Tickle that wire. Anyway, see what we got. Saturday's truck race was won by a Truck Series regular, James Buescher, who actually won the season opening nationwide at Daytona. So he's got his first nationwide win before his first Truck Series win, which is kind of weird. Well, so did Trevor Bayne getting his first Cup win before his first nationwide win. So. Kind of weird how that happens like that sometime, but It was James Buescher holding off Timothy Peters, and Brad Keselowski, who had the lead up a bit. And around the last, I don't know, I want to say about 20 laps or so, he started slowing down. And Buescher and Peters were able to get around him. And I guess the way the trucks wore, you know, the tires wore, his handling was a little off. Because that's what Brad Keselowski had a shot of winning that race. But it was good to see a truck series regular get the win. And, you know, instead of a cup guy, because that's the series they run in. They're looking to move up, so they need that money more so than the cup guys. And
it's kind of interesting when you do have the different ones that come in and everything like that. In some ways, it divides up your sponsors and makes it harder to find them, but in other ways, it can attract new sponsors as well to the sport, so you got your good and bad sides to everything.
Yeah, I think Brad Keselowski was the only Cup regular to actually run that race, as opposed to the last one after Texas at Rockingham, I guess, when Casey Kane went in. He ran a triple header that weekend. And was able to pull that one off, but I think Keselowski doesn't mind driving in anything. Figure he was there for the Cup race, might as well hop in the truck. He does own another truck that, of course, Parker Kligerman drives for him in the 29. And it's the only two Dodge trucks out in the field. Actually, they're Rams now since Chrysler was bought by Fiat. So instead of calling it a Dodge truck, they call it a Ram, even though it used to be the Dodge Ram. So I guess like GMC, you could buy at any GM dealer but Chevy, because Chevy has their own line of trucks. So this way they could sell trucks at Chrysler dealers. They just put them up as Rams now. I got an old-fashioned Dodge Dakota.
Yeah, we got one of them here, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think when I need a new one, I'm going to get a Ford, though. Can't complain about the Fords, at least the Mustangs.
Yeah, I'd love to have one of them in my driveway.
Ooh, that reminds me, I got to get a hold of one of the Ford reps, because one of the ones responsible for the redesigned Fusion in Sprint Cup racing. Supposed to get him on. I promised the Ford rep we'd get him on, too. And speaking of Fords, the pace car for this weekend's race at Richmond is a Ford Focus Electric.
Ooh.
Yep. An actual electric car built by Ford is going to pace the NASCAR weekend at Richmond. At least the nationwide. Let me go back on that. I know I've been getting stuff from Richmond on it. Ford Focus pace car unveiling. That'll be done this weekend. Media invited to public unveil at test drives of the Ford Focus. I've got to tell Gil, see if you can get in test drive one of them.
Oh, he may never get back out of there.
He might
want to have to take one home.
Well, you never know. It's an electric car now. They take forever to charge. And you only get so many miles out of them. I'm wondering if they can keep the battery charged up long enough to make the whole race.
I think they're either or, aren't they still? They still can kick over to fuel when they need to.
Yeah, they would have to, because I could understand if you're just going to the local store. Like here, they have stores close by, but down in where I'm at in Virginia, I got to at least go 20 miles to get to a decent store. 5 miles to the closest Dollar General, so that's not too bad. But I wouldn't get an electric car anyway. But anyway, the official unveiling of the Ford Focus electric pace car will be at the state capitol followed by media drives around the track at Richmond International Raceway. And that'll be the car that will pace the field on April 28th. That'll be Saturday night. So the state capitol building, it'll be on. Actually, it'll be this Wednesday when they unveil it and have a press conference.
Cool.
Pace car delivery at Richmond International Raceway will be at 2:45. So Trevor Bayne will be there, I guess, part of the unveiling promotion. So if you can get down to Richmond in a couple days or so, go to the state capitol this Wednesday and you could watch the unveiling, unless it's just for the media. The lieutenant governor will be there. Amanda Murray from Ford. And it'll be interesting to have them on. If I didn't get this email today, I would have tried to get somebody on for tonight to talk about that. Maybe I'd like to get the lieutenant governor of the state of Virginia. That would have been neat. But yeah, they'll be running a Ford electric pace car, the 2012 Focus, believe it or not. So it must be they must have just developed that, because I don't remember seeing the Focus on the Focus Electric in the sales brochures. Then again, I haven't been looking at all that. Well, let's wrap up. I'm going to wrap up the truck series real quick, Tam, and then we'll do the Grandview stuff, because you had a pretty busy weekend out there, I guess, up Friday and Saturday night.
Well, right? It's going to be even busier this weekend.
Well, was there activity supposed to were they supposed to race there on Sunday or just Saturday night? Because I know
Saturday and Sunday.
Sunday was a wash.
Yeah, Sunday was canceled Saturday afternoon. Yeah, Saturday night they didn't get through the whole program either, unfortunately. So this weekend when the fans come up to see the racing, they're going to get 5 features for the price of the normal 3. They're going to get 5 features. There's going to be 2 NASCAR 358 modified features, 2 Sportsman modified features, and 1 late model feature, because the late models were the only ones that finished their program this past Saturday night.
Really?
So, yeah, they were the only ones. I was surprised they got that far into the racing schedule with as bad as the weather was predicting. We were supposed to start seeing rain at 6, but it held off, so they did get the show going. And by 9 o'clock, it was pretty much done. But Mike Kellner redeemed himself after the collision him and Danny Snyder had the week before. He came back to win this week's late model feature. He did a good job picking up his first win of the season. He also ended Ron Klein's streak of winning the first 2 races of the year. So that position's taken. But now Dwayne Howard still has a chance to be a 3-time winner this year and possibly even a 4-time winner if he can take both of the NASCAR 358 modified features this weekend. But in the late models, in the feature that they did get in before the rains came, Mike Kellner was the winner. Chuck Schutz, who's a resident here of Pottstown area where I'm from, came in second. Danny Snyder came in 3rd. Sean Markle was 4th. Ron Klein was 5th. And rounding out our top 10 was Jason Miller, Andy Ressler, Rick Totterow, John Geisler, and Corey Fleming. And we have to mention Steve Butler. He's one of the people, if you see the picture of the 91 late model up on Garage Talk Live, he came in 11th, so he had a good night Saturday night, too.
That's good. How are the points set up working down there right now?
Well, the only ones I can give you updates on is that Ron Klein, since he's got the domination this year, he has the first 2 wins and everything, he is ahead. He's the points leader with 885 points. And then Sean Markle is in 2nd with 865, and 3rd place is last year's champion Chuck Schutz with 864. So that's what I have right now for points updates.
All right, and that continues weekly. So they should be racking up them points, and then, of course, they have the Freedom 76 for the 50,000.
That's the end of the year. In September, we have the Freedom 76er. I believe it's August, we have the Forrest Rogers Memorial. Coming up, well, this week is going to be the five features. And next Sunday is going to be the Neats and Doros Day and the Blast from the Past, which is Vintage Stock Day. And yesterday's Small Car Sunday race that was rained out is going to be run on Sunday, May 20th.
Weather permitting.
Weather permitting, but we're going to be optimistic. We don't want any more weather issues this year. We want to get racing it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, because I know they say you need the we need the rain, but we need the race in as well. So it should rain during the week instead of leave the weekends alone so the racers can get the work done.
That's right. And this weekend, the pricing is still going to be $15 for the adults, which is ages 13 and over, and 12 and under are still going to be free this weekend. So, you know, pack up the family and come on out. You got free parking on the grounds. You can always bring a grill. You can always bring a cooler full of food and drinks in the parking lot and enjoy them with your family, and then go on in and have a nice night of racing action.
There's our Grandview update this week. So head on out this one. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
This week is Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, just Saturday and Sunday. So
yep.
Head out Saturday and Sunday and this way, check out some good local action up there at Grandview in Bechtelsville, Pennsylvania. Of course, you might have some people staying home at night for the Cup race at Richmond. Now, yesterday's race out of Kansas, we'll get to that in a bit. Let me wrap up the truck series because we're talking about Brad Keselowski making the field, but at least, you know, a truck series regular one. Nelson Piquet, who had that great run out of Texas, finished fourth. Ty Bodine, who's a former guest of the show, he was fifth. Ron Hornaday Jr., if I could name all the guests on the show, pretty much out of the truck series. Ronnie was on once, was sixth. Justin Lofton was seventh. Parker Kligerman was eighth. Ty Dillon was ninth. And Miguel Paludo came home 10th. Now, we have a rookie in the truck series who's been on the show a couple times. I could probably get him back on. Paulie Haraka driving the number 5 truck. Remember, that used to be Mike Skinner's ride a couple years ago. Jennifer Jo Cobb managed the 25th place finish. I guess she made the race this time. She hasn't been doing too well. I guess last season's debacle with the Nationwide Series kind of set her back a bit. But I think the truck series where she should have stayed last year as well, because she did have a good finish the year before and finished up in the owner points to where she could make the races. And then, so I don't know what's up with her. I think we'll try to get her back on and see what's doing.
Yeah, we'll have to touch base with her and see what her plans are and everything like that, too, for this year.
She didn't come on last year, and it showed. When she was coming on, she was running well. Yeah, you know what happens when people come on the show?
They've had some good luck.
Yeah. And I got a call. John Force Racing, Rob Height, won 4 in a row. On the first 4 funny car events of the year, going for 5.
Awesome.
And, of course, there aren't too many that did that. I think John was one of them, so. And I think Cruz Pedregon was another 1-4 straight. That's in funny car, of course. I think Kenny Bernstein won it for Top Fuel. But give us a call at 646-649-1899. Talk some drag racing, some NASCAR, ARCA if you want, ASA, IndyCar. We don't care. We'll talk about it all. Any local dirt tracks in your area you want to talk about, we'll be glad to give them some shout-out time. Might as well promote them all, right, Tam?
That's right. This is, you know, we all enjoy the sport for different reasons, so. Yeah, that's why we're all here.
That's for sure. Let's see. So there were 5 cautions for 28 laps in the truck race. 16 lead changes among eight drivers. And Camping World Truck Series points are as follows. It's Timothy Peters at the top of the pack. James Buescher is second with the win, so, but he's still four back of Peters, so he's got to outscore him by a few positions to take over that points lead. Justin Lofton is third. Ty Dillon is fourth. Nelson Piquet Jr. fifth. Sixth, Parker Kligerman. Ron Hornaday Jr. is eighth. Seventh, John King, who won the season opener at Daytona, is eighth. Jason White is ninth, and Matt Crafton is tenth. He's doing better than his teammate, Johnny Sauter. So it's kind of weird over there at Dorsport. One of these, you know, I think Johnny gets more of the TV time with some of his antics, but Matt Crafton is more consistent. So he usually finishes up in the points better than Johnny, except for last year when Johnny had a shot at the title. But he wound up getting caught and passed, and I think Ronnie Hornaday wound up taking that again. But anyway, in yesterday's Cup race, it looked like it was going to be Martin Truex Jr.'s race to win. I don't know if you saw any of that, Tab, but he was pretty much leading everything.
I didn't get to see it, but now that I have Sirius satellite radio in my car, I got to hear it.
He led four times for 173 out of the 337 that were run. That was a 400-mile race. Yeah, 337 was the 267. That was the scheduled distance out of 400 miles. So 173 out of 267 laps. What's that tell you? It's almost two-thirds in a race.
He had such a dominant car, and I just think they made some wrong calls on the last stop.
Yeah, but it was all Denny Hamlin needed. He led twice for 32 laps, of course, most of them being at the end of the race, and, of course, the important one, the last one.
It's all right, though. I'm not complaining that he won, because he was my pick for this week, and I threw that name out there for some reason, and it turned out to be a good thing.
Did you pick that on last week's show?
Yeah, I did. I don't know why that name popped in my head, but yeah, I did. So I actually finally, I think it's the first time I've ever got one right.
You got some bragging rights this week.
I do, for the first time in how many years have we been doing this?
Let's see, I know how long I've been doing this.
It's like 3 or 4 years.
Joined me in what, 06? 07?
09. Oh, 09.
Oh, 09.
Yeah, it's been 3 years.
Wow, it's been that long already?
It's been that long already.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, I did good on that one, but in my MBS racing blog on the fantasy league that we do, I'm not doing so good on that. So, yeah.
I don't play.
And I don't have any bragging rights whatsoever on right now.
See, I don't play in these fantasy leagues because one of these are going to be too involved, and then you got to pay attention and do all sorts of other things. And no offense to NBS Racing Blog, our friends over there. I'm sure they're tuned in. Give us a shout. 646-649-1899. Make some comments, if you will. We're always posting up about things going on. I think that's where I saw the Kyle Petty thing. Is that where you saw it?
Yeah, that's where I was learning about that and what's going on. Kind of curious on the whole story on that one, of what's going on with Patty and Victory Junction Camp. You know, it's kind of interesting, but it's also very sad. You know, for me personally, that camp means a lot. You know, and it's in memory of Adam. And I know with my race team, we've actually done a lot of fundraising for them. So kind of sad to see she's not as in a leading role as what she's been. You know, and I'm just hoping that, you know, it isn't for any other reason other than they feel she could be better used in a different position.
Yeah. But we'll look into that and we'll see what happens. I think that might be just what it is. Maybe taking a lot out of her, or there's enough people there to handle all the day-to-day operations of it. So, but we'll see what happens there. But Denny Hamlin did manage to win and give Tammy bragging rights on this week's show. Which I picked her favorite, Tony Stewart, and we'll get to him as we read down the result, the finishing order. Of course, Jimmy Johnson, another consistent run close to the front for him, did lead a lap for a bonus point, and he's trying to fight for number six. Basically, he's called five-time. Then come the Fords of Matt Kenseth and last week's winner at Texas, Greg Biffle, for fourth and fifth. Kevin Happy Harvick was sixth. Dale Jr. finished seventh. Of course, there's a lot of people out there giving Jr. a hard time, but he's consistently up in the finishing in the top ten. I think he dropped a spot in the points this past week, but that all could change. I think he gets a win under his belt. Junior Nation always on his side anyway, and he's got a pretty big following. So Casey Kane finished eighth, Carl Edwards ninth, and Kyle Busch rounding out the top ten.
You know, Earnhardt was up there for a while yesterday. If I remember correctly, he was third for a while.
Third. And, you know, he had a problem.
They're getting closer. And everybody who keeps saying about how he's been so long since he's won and everything like that, I kind of have to look at it this way. When you're not having good runs and you're just having a bad week every week, it's so hard to dig yourself out of that rut. You know, and it's basically at this point, it's like 138, 139 races, somewhere in that range, could be even more than that since they've last won. You know, that's such a huge letdown and disappointment week in and week out that you have to overcome. And it starts to make one wonder, what do they have to do to overcome that? Because it's almost like they're beating themselves before they even get to the track.
Yeah, but at least he's having good enough finishes that he knows that he's close, so might need a break come his way. I mean,
yeah, he's so close. He's on the edge. I mean, he's had some really good, strong, consistent runs this year. It's just they can't finish it up. They're not closing the deal.
And that's what needs to happen. He needs to have that great pit stop for the final one, you know, the money stop, as they call it, and get out front and bring it on home. Don't mess with the car up when you're running good. Make the wrong adjustment.
Oh, I'm being corrected. It's 137.
Yeah, 137?
137 races since he last won.
And I think that last one he did win was a fuel mileage run, if I'm not mistaken. But there were only three cautions for 18 laps. And, you know, it wasn't really that exciting of a race to watch all the way through. And that's what happens when you have all these extended greens. You're talking 18 out of 267 laps on the yellow. Let's see. Was there just how many for debris? There's only three, so I bet two of them were, right?
Yeah, at least the two I heard in the car were debris towards the end. They were both, it was debris back to back.
Two for debris back to back, and one was for Clint Bowyer spinning in turn four.
Yeah.
Who wound up losing a motor after that anyway. I'm surprised they didn't throw one to clean up the track. I guess he got it off quick enough. 14 lead changes amongst nine drivers. A.J. Allmendinger winning the pole for Penske Racing. It was good for him to get up there, but I think he had led the first nine laps and then he backed up after that.
I think he also had car problems, too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he did.
He had a motor let go, too?
Yeah. Mark Martin had a motor let go. Everybody was wondering if Truex's motor was going to let go because that was two Michael Waltrip Racing entry cars that had a motor let go, Clint Bowyer and Mark Martin.
Oh, wait, I might be wrong on AJ. Hold on. It says he was running at the end. I thought something went on the car? Or was it an electrical problem or something that they were sidelined for a little bit?
Yeah, there was. I know they were for a little bit. Let me see where they at. Yeah, 32nd. To the 10 laps down. And that did set them back. You know, it did, I guess, move them up a bit to where he can grab a couple points. Mark Martin finished 33rd after blowing up. Clint Bowyer was 36th, so makes you wonder if Truex's engine was going to hold together, but it did. He finished all the laps. Got 44 out of 47 points. So let's see where the standings are as of now. It's Greg Biffle still up front. He has a lead over new second-place runner Martin Truex Jr. That's a 5-point lead. No, it's more than a 5-point lead. It's a 15-point lead over Truex. Kenseth is in third, two points behind Truex. Jr. was in third, dropped to fourth at 291. Denny Hamlin with two wins now keeps him in the fifth spot. Kevin Harvick is sixth. Jimmy Johnson, seventh. Eighth is Tony Stewart. Ninth is Carl Edwards. Tenth is Ryan Newman. And in the bubble spots are the wild card spots, Clint Bowyer and Joey Logano. But as far as I know, did they change any ruling on those last two spots? The guys with the wins get them and that are below the top ten? Or did they change that?
I'm not sure how they're doing it this year. I'm so confused with the point system and the way they do it. I'm old school, and I'll admit it. Even though old school wouldn't have given Tony the win last year, I'm old school when it comes to point systems. It's plain, simple, run it to the end. But that's just me.
And it gets to be a snooze fest. And the whole reason was when Kenseth won his, he had like a 400-point lead, and of course it got chipped away, and he didn't wind up winning by that much, but it seemed like nobody had the incentive to try to get up there because he'd always finish good enough to maintain his lead. So, but I kind of like it. Yet things change all the time as far as sports goes. So, I mean, if the Cup Series was as competitive as the Truck Series, where the points championships only decide, see, the top five spots are usually within 10 points of each other, then it's a different story. But you get these bigger leads. And I like the way the points are added up now, with 43 to the winner on down to one for the 43rd spot, as opposed to you get 167 for first place, and then you got your... It used to work 5 points down from there until you hit the seventh spot, then it was 4-3 and all that.
Yeah, I like the system where it's just 1 point difference. It makes you have to work a lot harder. You don't have to sit there and go, okay, well, if he's two spots back to us, then we're only losing this amount of points to him now. If you're two spots back, you've lost 2 points, and those 2 points mean a whole lot more than it did with the old system.
Yeah, and it's easy to say, ooh, I need to get ahead of him because he's only 2 points ahead of me. So if I finish ahead of him, I'm 1 point ahead of him. It's also that way of looking at it, too. So it gives you incentive to drive a little harder.
Yep. I mean, you really have to work for it now. You really have to earn it now. You know, it's not just the math is more important now than it ever was. You don't have, 10 and 15 point differences, and you don't get an extra 10 bonus points for leading, the most laps. You get one bonus point. You really have to work for it now.
And it's easier to make up ground, too, with the way it is now.
You have an incentive to make.
I mean, if you're in 30th in the standings, if you have a good run and everybody above you, you can make up ground on people ahead of you in bigger chunks, finishing ahead of them.
Yes and no. I mean, if you're 30th in the standings, you really, really need a lot of people to have a bad night. But,
yeah.
Vice versa, though. If you're first in the standings and you have a bad night, you know, it could be season ending for you, basically. You know, you have one DNF at the wrong point in the season and you don't have enough time to make it up,
right.
You pretty much can, you know, say you're done with your championship contention.
Yeah, it makes it more interesting to follow because of the way the points are set up. As a matter of fact, they have a NASCAR Sprint Cup leader bonus. No winner rolls over to 20,000 at next event. So there is some, I guess, if Biffle, who's the Sprint Cup leader, won the race yesterday, he'd have got $10,000 for extra from Sprint for winning.
I'm not sure if that's every race or only certain races. Used to be that it was they had different bonuses at certain races and things like that. So I don't know if they're doing it every race this year or not.
Well, according to the stat page here, it says NASCAR Sprint Cup leader bonus. No winner rolls to 20,000. So I'm assuming if Biffle won this race, he'd have won an extra 10. So if he's the point leader and wins at Richmond, he'll get a 20 grand check.
Would be a nice extra bonus to take home at the end of the day.
Yeah. Hey, couldn't you use a 20 grand bonus? I know I could.
I definitely could. I wouldn't complain at all with that.
So give us your take out there. Listeners, at 646-649-1899 here on Garage Talk Live on blocktalkradio.com or go to our website. GarageTalkLive.com and click on the links. We got one or two up still.
I have a couple up. All right, I got a question for you, though.
Okay.
And I kind of like this idea because this is what we do in my point system for my racing. Do you think they should let a driver drop one bad race out of the points? Which basically what that means is everybody gets to drop their lowest finish from the year.
Yeah. You have a bad finish, you have a bad finish. You're stuck with it.
See, I like that idea personally, but that's just me because I've raced in systems like that before, and it kind of makes it exciting because you have to do your best to win every race, but if you do have one bad week, you still have somewhat of a chance, and it kind of levels your playing field because everybody at some point in the year is going to have a bad week.
Yeah, that's for sure. So why drop it if everybody's going to have a bad week? Or what if somebody doesn't have a really bad week, but his worst race is a 15th, or, you know?
Right, but you'd still drop that one race.
Nah, they should all, you get what you get.
See, now my kids would side with you on that, because in their division this year, when it was all said and done, they dropped they did two races in their class, because they're in the novice class.
Well,
it ended up flip-flopping, and the other one wanted one went up higher than the other one in the points at the end because of those two drop races. So instead of my oldest finishing third, he ended up finishing second, and it was by 1 point.
Well, I guess she'd be happy with that. She's glad of that.
He was, but my youngest wasn't. See, I do like the idea, and you know, then you'd also have to clarify, do you want it dropped in the first, you know, first set of races in the season or in the chase? You know, then you'd have to clarify how you're going to do that system, too. You'd have to pick and choose.
Nah, in big time, like these guys keep it the way it is. Oh, here's a note here. It says, rollover money for the NASCAR Sprint Cup leader bonus. Rollover money awarded at year's end. Amount not included in race winnings.
Oh, okay, so it's extra money at the banquet then.
Yeah. So on top of the $5.5 million that Sprint gives you for winning the championship, all this extra money comes in with that.
It's not bad. You get an extra little bonus at the end of the year. You know, that works too.
Now when Tony was winning those races in a row at the end of the year in the chase, but yeah, that was a nice fat check. Or it was a bunch of, the amount was the same, it was just little or smaller increments because he because he won them all in a row. I still think that last race of the year between him and Edwards, battling for the title, running 1-2.
Hold on 1 second. You got a caller, Vince.
We do.
Yeah, hold on. Welcome to Garage Talk Live.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Good,
Neil. What's your name, sir?
Pretty good, pretty good. I have a quick question for you.
Yeah, your name? What town?
My name is Glenn. I'm calling up from Northern New Jersey.
Okay, Glenn.
Being they just repaved Pocono, you think that track's going to be any trickier, or you think it's going to be easier on the drivers?
Easier. There's less bumps. It's probably going to be faster, too. I think the last time they did it, speed did increase about 10 miles an hour until it, you know, wore back down, but... Yeah, it's going to be a lot easier for the drivers. Their handling might have to be adjusted a bit more because you're going to be coming into, you know, the turns a little quicker. So that might be where it gets a little tricky there. But as far as raceability goes, I think it'll be a much better track, and you'll see some speeds up as well. What about you, Dan?
I think it's going to be better for the racing surface, but they've also gotten used to it being bumpy and the way it's been all these years, so that's going to affect them a little bit in the way they're going to set up their cars. But pit road's also a little bit different as well, and now it's all the same surface, so it's kind of, you're going to have a different little strategy you're going to have to do all over the track now as compared to last, you know, using all your previous notes, they're all thrown out the door. You know, they're not going to work anymore what you have for previous notes there, and it's going to be starting from scratch, basically.
Oh, so the tire testing that they're having for the next 2 days, you think that's going to make a big difference?
I think it is going to give a lot of information that they're going to need. You know, like I said, with going into this, you know, there were the bumps and everything like that, your tunnel turn and everything. They knew the sections of the track like the back of their hands, and now they're going into the track, and it's basically like a brand-new track. You know, even though it's the same configuration as it was before, you have a brand new surface, it's all smooth, it's all, you know, leveled off and everything like that now on the track. And then you're going to have a different surface entering pit road, too. So it's going to be a little bit different for them. I think the tire test is great up there, but also you have to factor in the weather conditions for the tire test the next 2 days are going to be on the cooler side than what we're used to having, and... I want to say it's going to be at least 20 to 30 degrees cooler the next 2 days up there than what it will be in June. So that's going to play a factor, too.
But let me ask you something. If they were banking the turns a little bit more, so when you're coming out of turn three, which the imaginary turn four is there, once you go down that straightaway, which is the longest straightaway out of all the tracks that NASCAR races on, you think they should bank turn one so you can just fly into the turn? Instead of, like, backing down?
I think it would be neat if they did that. You know, make both your entrance to, or your exit to three and your entrance to one the same banking. But I guess they do like the challenge that it holds when you're not having the same degree angles and everything like that, too.
Well, most crew chiefs, when the question is asked, which is the trickiest turn or the best turn of it, they always have the same answer. Last turn going to the airport.
Yeah. Aren't the races 400 miles this year, too, instead of five?
Yeah.
Yes, they did cut them down.
So there's a lot more strategy that actually comes into play because of that as well. You don't have those two extra pit stops, so somebody might gamble a little better. And with the higher speed, it's going to throw the fuel mileage off. So as well as the smoothness, they won't wear through tires as fast. So there's a whole bunch of things going to come into play up at Pocono this year then.
And they can't cut the engines out like they like to do also up there because of it. The engine's not always wanting to refire and everything like that with this fuel injection. That cutting the engine out hasn't been successful for a good amount of drivers this year. And the other thing is the shifting and everything, too. It's going to affect your fuel mileage, too, depending on how smooth you are at shifting.
And being they allowed brought that back, I think a couple guys ruined transmissions too with it that weren't used to from like the old days.
Yep.
They were running the Jericho transmission.
You think there's possibility they might change the gear ratio on it?
I think they'll use whatever they need to get from one end of the straightaway to the other before they have to back it down, and that they'll probably have to gear it for the front straightaway because it's the longest. So, because you figure you're coming out of there, you want to be able to punch it, maintain your acceleration down, into, we'll say from turn three to turn one, and then have to be able to do it again to get to the tunnel turn before you want to be able to get in there. So, I think the gearing probably won't change much in that.
Well, I guess a lot of crew chiefs are going to be looking into their crystal ball to see what they're going to have in the future for there, huh?
Oh, that's for sure. That might be the only bit of notes they take is the gearing of their that they have. So they don't know how long it takes and who can get from turn one to turn two and turn two to turn three and then turn three back to turn one the quickest. Because you really can't sustain any kind of speed there. That's why the averages are always seem to, you know, you can get the 1 mile track at Dover, and the speeds are pretty much the same as the 2.5 at Pocono, just because of the slowdown and acceleration factor. So, but I think as far as the new pavement goes, that'll be a lot easier on the suspensions of the cars.
I can understand that. All right, it was great talking to you guys. You guys got a good show. Keep going. And let's just see what the future has to hold for all of us.
All right. Thanks for joining us. I hope you'll join us again. Tune in next week. We'll have one of the Miss Sprint Cups on, talking about all the fun stuff, promotion-wise, that they're going to be having leading up to the All-Star race. So there should be a lot of interesting things going on.
Well, we're looking forward towards that.
All righty. Take care now.
See you, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, we've got another call. We've got to get the name in the town. I want to see where our listeners are checking in from, you know, town.
Yep. I keep track.
It's a shame that we can't stream them first and say, okay, you know, yeah, and then you can, like, text and hit me on the chat saying that we got so-and-so from so-and-so and that type of thing. I think it's a bug in the system with Blog Talk Radio, but at least we're getting the calls.
Yeah, we're getting the calls, and it came through this week, so that's a bonus.
And but one of them's not Jerry, so this is weird having a show without Jerry calling.
I know. We're going to have to figure a way to give him the information so he can call in. You know, we used to have him calling in every week, and we don't even get him to make picks anymore, so.
Yeah, but he used to do it because it was a local call. He don't use a computer, so. So it's kind of hard.
Yeah. We'll have to figure out a way to get Jerry involved again.
Yeah, I don't even know how to get a hold of him. Because when he used to call the other station, you know, it didn't have a caller ID to come up. I have to get one of the other sports shows. He calls them all. Not just the ones around here. I'm talking, he calls all of them. It could be on the West Coast.
Oh, we'll have to find out. We'll get a hold of him.
So, but I think he misses making his picks. As a matter of fact, I'll have to get a hold of one of the other sports shows. There's one on tomorrow night about 11 o'clock up at the old station there.
There you go.
We'll have to see if we get him to tune in.
Well, while we're talking about Jerry and his picks, let's do our picks.
Oh, yeah, being we only got 6 minutes left. I'm keeping an eye on the clock this week, Tam. I'm keeping an eye on the clock.
Well, since all I right. got the good one last week, you get to pick first.
All righty. You know what I want to do? I want to pick the hometown hero of Richmond. Denny Hamlin, your pick last week. I'm going with him for this week.
Oh, now I got to think.
He always runs good there. That's another thing I got to bring up. Last year's results. Last year's results for this week, coming weekend's race.
Oh, now I have to pick. See, now last week it was really easy. The first name that popped in my head was his. So nobody's popping in my head. That means nobody's going to win, right?
I doubt that.
Oh.
Come on, you can do it.
I know.
You figured if I went first, you'd have a little bit of thinking time, but I didn't waste any time this week.
I know you didn't. You're just like boom and done. Well, Kyle is sending me a message and he's taking Clint Boyer. So,
oh really?
Yep, that's gonna eliminate that one for me.
Okay.
That doesn't help any though.
I would pick Clint if somebody gave me money to do it. No offense, Kyle. Tell Kyle to call in sometime. Don't hide behind the chat room.
I'm really leaning towards Gordon.
That ain't bad.
I'm not sure why, but I'm leaning towards him. Maybe he'll give them the 200th win they're looking for.
That would be great if he did it. It'd be even better if Junior did it.
It would be great if Junior did it, but the party would be going on so long, no way would make it to the next week.
and
Kyle says none take it, so you're good.
Says not to take it?
He says none taken, so he's good.
Oh. That's all right. Still, he ought to pull in. Well, We're a little behind on time this week, but now that everybody knows they can get a hold of us, a little easier.
Putting our picks up right now, so everybody's picks are up.
Okay. I'm looking.
And I think Tracy's taking Carl Edwards.
Tracy's taking Carl Edwards?
Yep.
Are they on the GTL page?
They're chatting with me.
I'm going to post it on the GTL page because we'll, on the Facebook page, we're going to post ours there. If you have to take a pick on the show, not the chat window, call it in.
Oh, they can chat it in too. I'll take them.
All right. That means you have work to do after the show.
I'm doing it right now. It's all good.
Okay. So, yeah, everybody seems to like your photography work. Of course, we have our correspondent, Gil Smith, shooting the Richmond weekend.
Yep.
He'll be posting up, as he goes along, like he did last time. And he's under GarageTalkLive.com.
Yep.
The first time. Second time, actually. He went to the Baltimore Grand Prix, the IndyCar race through the streets of Baltimore. He went there for the website. So we're doing it that way now, Tammy.
We are. We're getting there. We got to...
Better get your Dover stuff in.
Yeah, I got to do my Dover and Pocono. So got some tracks this year on the schedule and thinking about trying to visit some other of the local short tracks as well too. You know, that's where a lot of the stars of tomorrow are coming from. So it's neat when you get the chance to go visit other tracks. Like you have Southside Speedway down there, which I would love to come down and see races down there again. I love going to that track.
Where's that one at?
It's off what they call the Pole Wide Highway. It's a toll road outside of Richmond. It's a nice asphalt track.
Oh, it's outside of Richmond. That's like,
yep.
That's across the state from me.
I think it's on your side.
That's positive. Still across the state from me.
I'll have to look it up. I forget where exactly it's at, but it's a really, really neat track to go to.
All right, Tammy, it looks like we're about out of time. We're down to the last minute, and then I'll give us that little voice saying, you have 1 minute left.
Oh, no, you're good. Remember, I took care of that this week.
Oh, I know. So let's sign off and get our 1 hour show. And Hey, can you email the other ones to me? Is that doable with this new format?
I think so. We'll give it a shot.
All right, because I don't have any of the new ones yet, so. Okay, Tommy, we'll get back next week after Richmond, and hopefully we'll have a couple of exciting races. Our guest next week will be one of the Miss Sprint Cups, and when I know, we'll post it up on our site and the Facebook page, and we'll let you know. We'll see you all next week. I'm Vince Bonfigli. Say goodbye, Tom.
See ya. Have a good week, everyone.
All righty. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good race.